very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run Through, the figure skating podcast where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us work throughout the entire summer. No breaks allowed. I am one of your hosts, Adam Rippon, and with me, as always, is not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes. Sarah Hughes, welcome back to the podcast. It's so good to see you. It's so good to hear from you. How has your summer been?
The summer's been just hot and heavy.
Has it? Both of those, both hot and heavy.
Both hot and heavy. Workload.
Yes.
This feels like a true time to be welcomed back, considering it's been a long time. But here
we are. It's been a really long time. And it's going to be an even longer time for our missing co-host, Ashley Wagner. Olympic medalist, world's medalist, national champion, and missing in action, which
yes.
is welcome back to missing, Ashley. We missed you.
She's always sort of with us, though, you know, in the form of tweeting at everyone that we're going to do an episode.
Right. She likes to inform everyone,
looming
let's do
over
this. Actually, I can't do it. Ashley, we miss you. We love you. Ashley is in the middle of moving right now. So Sarah and I are taking the reins. And it's a huge responsibility. And
one that we've shown, I think, in the past that we are not capable of.
No. Which is why it's really scary that we've said, yeah, I'll do it. So that's what is so scary right now, is that we've taken on a responsibility that we cannot handle. Alas.
Well, we've all been there. This is how you grow. This is how we grow.
Yes, it is how we grow. And it's also how we shrink the minds of the listeners. And I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to have the minds be shrunken.
Yes, yes. And so what we did do for this episode is I scrolled back through my text messages for the last 2 months to find every link, meme, photo, things that were sent back and forth that I thought we would have normally discussed had we been here more often. And we're going to talk about all of it.
Right.
And you guys are stuck with us for a while.
A while. And just so you think that, oh, Sarah did a lot of work scrolling. Well, I made a document and I just copied everything that she said was in the text message. So yeah, I did a little bit of work. And I did a little bit of prep.
Well, you were in those text messages. So you did the original work.
Of texting. Not all the time, though. But wait, Sarah, before we get into it, will you let the listeners know, like, what have you been up to? What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Well, since May, I've been to 3 gymnastics meets.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I've been to 2 gymnastics meets. Okay. Feels like 3.
Right.
The amount of work that it is. gymnastics has unlike the other sports, gymnastics has nationals and trials as 2 separate competitions in the same month. Mm-hmm. So I went to both of those in June. I also went to Los Angeles to see my best friend, Adam. Mm-hmm. And we went on a little girls' trip to Hawaii where our best friends, Maddie and Evan, got married.
That's so completely true. Yes. I actually forgot that happened.
We did do that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. How was Hawaii? Hawaii was beautiful. It was great.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's crazy that there's just land there.
Just stolen sort of land.
Yeah. 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 It wasn't borrowed. That was stolen, I think.
But it is beautiful.
Yes. Sometimes stolen things are beautiful. Just ask the British monarchy. They've stolen many beautiful things.
That's true. Did you see that, by the way? Not dead. Kate Middleton went to Wimbledon And I got kind of emotional watching because as she walked in, the crowd gave her a standing ovation.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was very, it made me emotional.
I
missed her.
I know you did.
I was worried about her.
You were worried. Yeah, you were really, really worried about her.
That's what I've been up to. What have you been up to, Adam?
I went to a wedding in Hawaii.
Who got married?
Our best friends, Evan and Maddie. I just remembered about it. I remembered about it.
Yes.
So Sarah and I are actually, we're prepping for the same thing, but in different ways currently. Sarah and I are both working the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris, France. And how would we be doing it in different ways? Well, there's a few different ways we could be doing it. The first different way would be that I won't be going to Paris at all.
No, but you're going to the Paris of the United States. Which is Connecticut.
Yes, Connecticut. Thank
Everybody
you.
Everybody says that about Connecticut.
They do. They go, isn't that the sister city of Paris, France? And I go, yes. That's why they have a guillotine in the city square. It's the sister city of Paris, France. So Sarah is a head honcho. She's ruling the roost over there.
Could not be further from true. Go on.
And I will be in Connecticut. So I'll be doing a bunch of stuff for Peacock during the Olympics. And Missile, two-time Emmy winner, will be doing prime time.
God knows what.
Well, I have literally no idea what I'm doing still. TBD, there will be some updates. Hopefully I'll get them. But yes.
Yeah. Hopefully you get them before the listeners get them.
Yes. I don't even really, the last I heard didn't, I don't know, but I know that I'm going and I know that I'm working and, somebody's got to work.
I mean, kind of feels like nobody wants to work around here. That's what Kim Kardashian always says. Nobody wants to work.
No.
I've got some advice for women in business.
Get your ass up and work. And I said, all right, ass up. I'm going to Connecticut.
Yeah, so we took that advice too seriously, and that's why we have disappeared for 2 months.
Yes, because we were working, because somebody told us we had to, and her name was
Kim Kardashian.
Kimberly Kardashian.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Yes. So,
Last time we were on here, I feel like there was truly nothing going on in figure skating, and as soon as we sort of were too busy to be doing this, things were happening all of a sudden.
Right. But which will make this for a really exciting, just kind of touching base episode, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to kind of go into it. We have a list of like all the things we've missed. I'm sure we've missed a few of the things, but these are the major moments and milestones that we found in a group chat that we were in.
Yeah, which means that's how we know they're important.
Yes.
Where should we start? I'll throw a dart at the document and pick something.
I think maybe we should start with, you told me there was something you needed to tell me, and I didn't want to know anything more about it, and it was, you told me Tessa is fighting with her local government. Now, clarify what Tessa, what government, and what is the issue?
You really don't know this?
No.
Okay. Tessa Virtue. Ever heard of her?
I have.
She has
a dog named Zoe with the umlauts.
Yeah. And imagine I told you that's what the fight was about. Zoe the dog.
With the German language.
Yeah. So Tessa and her husband have a house, in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't want to butcher this story too much, so I'll do broad strokes. But basically, they have a house that's in some kind of historic district or under some sort of historic preservation regulations of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired someone to like do a renovation on the outside of their house.
Oh, no.
And they wanted to apply some kind of, like, wash, I think, to the bricks on the outside of the house.
I'm shaking my head. You can't do that. Yeah, go on.
And you can't do that.
I work with the local guy. I'm already going, Tessa, come on. It's historical. You can't touch it. Okay, go on.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that is what it is. The Toronto City Council, I think, is the local government that's involved. Mm-hmm. And they I don't know if they already had a vote because this happened like a month ago, but they were supposed to go and like have some kind of vote to make a decision on whether they could do this. And that is basically all I know. But they like had a lawyer that went to the city council meetings for them.
Yes. They were ordered to stop painting their heritage home. That's true. I'm looking right now.
I will say Tessa has a good publicist because before this episode, I Googled Tessa Virtue to pull up a news article about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find it until the second page of results.
Oh, I'm finding it right now on the first page because I think I just went Tessa Virtue house trouble.
Well, I literally only Googled her name thinking, oh, it's going to pop up and be the first news item about her. Mm-hmm. But no, pregnancy is first.
Now, okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate and say there are times when this can be annoying, Tessa.
Oh, I'm not even taking a side. I'm telling you the story.
I'm not taking a side on this. Of
because
all the
you're
things...
not an expert in historic home preservation.
Yeah, well, I'm not. It's not funny.
Well, the lawyer is, I think, making a case that their expert that they hired to do this renovation said that this type of wash would be better for the structural integrity of the home.
Uh-huh.
And the city council is being like, well, that it doesn't matter. Like, the rules say that you can't do that or something. I think that's kind of where it's at, where they're saying, we have an expert. We know that this isn't going to damage the house, blah, blah, blah.
Now, again, I am not an expert in historical preservation, but when I was in London maybe a month or two ago, I was being told that a lot of these beautiful, beautiful buildings, they're like protected by the government. Like, you cannot change the exterior. So like when they do like a tear down and they like build it up, I could see that they have like the just the outside brick stays and the whole behind it is gone, like a literally like a movie set, like it's just gone. And with a lot of these older buildings, because they can't change the exterior, they have the original windows. Like, the windows are 400 years old and they cannot change them.
Yeah, my dad owns a bar in his hometown in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And the building where it is a historic building. It's like it's similar to this house, I guess, that Tessa has, where there are a lot of restrictions about what he can and can't do. And he was allowed to replace the windows only if they were like the exact same type of glass, same exact shape, everything, which was way more expensive to replace them that way. But that was the only way he was allowed to put new windows in.
Wow. My God. And that's it for the skating updates. Wait, but okay, can I give a plug for a show that I love? I can't remember the name of it. This is a horrible plug.
This is a bad plug.
It's the show's produced by like the Joanna and Chip Gaines. I can't remember. It's called like the something home or whatever. But the designer, her name is Jean Stopher, and she does historical renovations, and she like does tear downs, and she does, it's like, it's absolutely amazing. And because of her, I've gained this like vocabulary of like in beautiful moldings, like where there's like that, where the corners will meet, she goes, oh my God, I really love these rosettes. And I've learned that you can get custom rosettes done in Chicago, and so now my whole goal is to move into a place that I need to go and get historical rosettes from a speakeasy in Chicago.
And now the only thing that you need to add to your vocabulary is the name of the show, which is not there.
The Established Home. That's what it's called.
See, all you have to do is shame Adam a little bit, listeners. Yeah. and he will remember what he's supposed to say and do.
And fight or flight takes over. Now, speaking of shame, there is a music policy that's been brought forward. Now we're back to the skating news. We're taking a turn from the rosettes that are made, custom made in Chicago. And we're going right to a music policy suggestion that was brought up by U.S. Figure Skating. Sarah, do you know anything about this or should I dig in?
I do know some about it, but I think it would be helpful for you to just lay the land for the conversation.
So lay the land. So this is the issue. So American skating fans, I hear you, I see you. Something else we see is not much skating on the app of Peacock, where I'll be working in Stamford, Connecticut later this month. Now, we've noticed, where's a lot of the skating? So a lot of the skating disappears in 48 hours, and that is due to some of the music issues. They don't want to get into any sort of like legal disputes of playing music that they don't have the rights to when it comes to people's programs and stuff. And that is why in the U.S. that the competitions come down right away. Now, in order to kind of not ever get in this issue or have a skater come into a predicament of getting into some sort of legal issue, U.S. Figure Skating has proposed that people only choose music that is cleared by these, you know, few different clearing agencies. I don't know. Okay. Stay with me. It's the established home. Gene Stopher is the designer. I'm back. Now, so basically what they want is that they want these like completely cleared songs so that there's no issue, so that they can post the program on Instagram, they can post it on YouTube, and it won't cut, and it there won't be any music rights or issues. But it's not a demand of you have to skate to this music. It's highly suggested. Basically, I feel like it's U.S. Figure Skating covering their ass so that like they don't get in trouble and they can go, all right, well, I've done everything and I've told the skaters that like this is the best and safest way to handle and deal with the music.
Yeah, I agree with your last point. It seems like it's just the Federation wanting to not be liable should there ever be an issue. Mm-hmm. I am confused, though. Like, it's the policy is saying, I mean, and again, I don't know if it's a policy or a suggestion or whatever, but it seems like they're saying this would only be for like live airings of the program, like not on demand stuff, not like YouTube. They made it seem like those skaters wouldn't even get to have like a copy of their program.
Well, they
I don't know, and this is like an internal document, isn't it? Like, I don't even think this is public. It's just that somebody on Twitter posted the information. Is that true?
I don't know. I have it. Do you want me to read it?
The whole thing?
Well, let me breeze through it. Okay. Basically, okay, the policy statement prohibits streaming live events with music as well as the distribution or sale of recorded performances with music. Music announcement is intended to begin the education surrounding music rights and to provide some information on the risk to stakeholders if the music isn't licensed. U.S. Figure Skating is not mandating the use of BMI or ASCAP music this season.
ASCAP, yeah.
Also known as ASCAP. Thank you, Sarah. We're advising about the risk associated with using unlicensed music and are merely providing a tool for members' use in finding music that is covered by U.S. Figure Skating's performance licensing with BMI and ASCAP.
Got it. So, okay, yeah. I think it only applies to live performances of it.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, the way that that sounds to me is, like you said, it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with Peacock. I mean, I think it is what you said. I think it's U.S. Figure Skating probably just wanting to say, okay, we're going to educate everybody. We're going to put out this suggestion, you know, so that if anything were to happen, we are not the ones that are liable for anything. Mm-hmm. I think that's that seems like all this is. It's not like they're forcing skaters to choose music within a certain list.
No. I mean, I know that when this came out, I had a lot of friends like text and be like, "What's going on with the music?" And I mean, I first read it. When I first read it through, I was like, they're not telling you to do anything. They're basically just kind of warning. So I don't really think this is going to change anything.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, I mean, and it, like, this isn't a, I know you mentioned Peacock, but this is not like a Peacock-specific thing. This is, first of all, Peacock doesn't have any sort of authority over what national federations are doing. And, like, mm-hmm. it's not Peacock, like, music is expensive, and music is increasingly, like, there's an increasingly litigious culture around music use because mm-hmm. an artist may not care and may even be like excited about a skater using their music, but the artist doesn't control the music. Mm-hmm. The publisher controls the music. So it's like there's a lot of people involved outside of like a skater and a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's complicated because obviously you can't like, well, I guess US Figure Skating can do whatever they want. I don't think that a federation should ever tell skaters you have to use this kind of music, but it's probably not the worst thing to say, hey, we would advise that you use this music
mm-hmm.
that is covered, because you know, if it isn't, you know, I don't really understand the legality around like whether a skater themselves could be in trouble, but I don't know, it seems more like a suggestion, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's a suggestion. I think, I mean, really there needs to be some sort of like I mean, the way that like a major TV network would get like bypass of like, why can you hear all of this music, is that like it's under of like this, basically they can play the music because it's a live event, and that's how, not that they're getting away with it, but that's why you can hear all sorts of music in the background at live events and it's considered background music. But yeah, it's just to protect the skater so that the skater themselves wouldn't get in trouble. Does that happen? I have literally no idea. All I know is I was skating to whatever I want and there was no website to check it. And I would have been going to the courts myself, representing me.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because like the sport needs more exposure to the mm-hmm. public.
Yes.
Like it has a dwindling fan base, and you can't bring new fans in if they can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, like, you know, if everybody's skating to like Tosca,
mm-hmm.
who wants to watch that?
Right.
So it's like it's a little like a lose-lose, I feel like, if everybody is going to be beholden to these music legality issues, because, and there's nothing you can do. It's, I mean, I think it's literally like music publishers. Like,
yes.
There's no, you know, there's no villain here within skating.
No, it's, there isn't. It's
the
literally,
music industry
it's legislation. Like it's the government.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the music industry. And mm-hmm. so within
which is
skating,
the government,
I think
the music industry is the government.
No.
Yes. Capitol Records is my representative in Congress. And my local representative is Virgin Mobile. No. You're correct, Sarah. Thank you so much. Always.
What I was going to say.
Yes.
Is that I think everybody has the same goal, which is that they want... Everybody wants the sport to grow. It's just that there are competing interests within the sport to make that happen. The one side of it is, okay, well, we can't get new fans if people can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have people can't see it if we can't clear the music. So that's one side. Mm-hmm. And another side would probably say, yeah, but who cares that people can see something if it's not modern and it's not fresh and it's not exciting?
Totally.
But it's like, okay, if somebody does an incredible program to Britney Spears, but nobody ever gets to watch it, it's like, did they really do an incredible program to Britney Spears?
Right. Because and then
it's
on
like
the...
a tree falling in a forest. Nobody right. hears it.
Except Britney Spears. She
Britney
hears it.
Is the only one who was there. She because was burning down her gym in that forest.
I mean, to your point, I mean, Simone Biles has been using the same floor routine music for 8 years. She's been using that one sound effect for, I think, 15 years now. But you're right. I think it's more important that you see the performance and you see the skating. But yes, it would be great to be able to use modern music. But if it's at the risk of it not being able to be shared, that's not good.
Yeah, so I do think it's a lose-lose a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. it's either the artist, like, the artistic spectrum is limited mm-hmm. in order to distribute it, or the distribution spectrum is limited to let it be more free artistically.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the reality is that organizations like U.S. Figure Skating do not, and even, by the way, even like Peacock NBC, like, or call it BBC or CBC or wherever, don't have the money to clear this music for every mm-hmm. program.
No, no.
So
I do. I could clear it if I wanted. I could.
Yeah. I think their hands are a little tied. Like, they want yes. the sport to grow and they can't afford to just pay across the board for like Taylor Swift music.
Right. Which is famously very inexpensive.
Yeah, bad example, because she's just giving away music for free.
Right. But we do have some more positive news that we'd love to share. You know, just Gabby Dalman has a comeback that she's announced. She's back. She did a simulation the other day.
What do we know about Gabby Dalman's comeback?
Nothing. I don't know anything about it.
I mean, the Canadian women.
They could use her, I think. I think yeah. they could use her.
Yeah. And I do think if anyone can save Canadian women skating, it is
pageant
probably
Queen Gabrielle.
Caitlin Osmond.
Kate Osmond. Yes.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, when Gabby was at the height of her career, she was
winning
very
world medals.
Good.
Yes.
She's winning world medals.
She's yeah. literally an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah. So. I mean, so what if you sometimes have to take a break to do a few pageants?
You could say what I do now is pageants, and I'm taking a break indefinitely. Marina Gossu had a baby.
Okay. Yes. And announced it
in a
by
sponsored
doing
post.
Sponsored.
Which is genius. Which is, I'm so sorry, so genius. Genius.
Go on.
The post starts out with, I want to go see Boston from the best view absolutely possible. And I want to bring my family and I want my family to see that view. Oh, by the way, I had a baby. Now, for $5 off of this view. And I went, excuse me? Excuse me? Wait, 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 wait. Marina Gossu. For $5 off? You had a baby? I had no idea. I had no idea she had a... I had heard rumblings that she was pregnant, but I didn't, you know, I didn't really know. But then in that sponsored post, I found out, one, where I could find the best view of Boston, and two, that Marina Gossu had a baby.
And three, how you could get $5 off.
Well, I learned three things. Yes, Mirai had a baby. His name is Taiga. He's very cute. Obviously, Mirai was probably doing triple jumps up until the delivery date.
Well, that's what's confusing is I feel like before this hard launch of her child, she was hard launching herself off of the ice.
Right. And soft landing. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, if anybody could have a baby, it's Mirai. No, this is absolutely the most like Mirai way of being like, oh yeah, I had a baby. But what's so funny is that like the week before the sponsored announcement of the baby, she was like, oh yeah, I got engaged a year ago. Here are the pictures. And then one week later,
oh, yeah. She was like, those pictures of them like on the bridge or whatever.
Which are so cute. They're very cute. And it's like, oh, I didn't know she was engaged.
The timeline of her life is very confusing. I do feel like she's kind of posting out of order. And makes it hard for me as an observer.
To just kind of chronologically know what's happening.
Yeah, because I do on like the walls of my apartment have like kind of a life timeline of Mirai mm-hmm. Nagasu.
Yeah, you're pulling it down now from the ceiling and I can see it. I'm going, okay.
Yeah, and it's looking a little out of order these days. It's looking, the end is just I have just like a large red question mark.
But you know what I do think? I think that we are up to date. I don't think that she can pull out kind of any information that's going to throw me for such a wicked loop as engagement followed by like a fully grown out on the town baby.
Well, a baby with SpawnCon.
That baby made more money in that day than I did. No matter what the agreement was, Taiga Nagasu Bramante made more money than me. And that's a good start to life.
I mean, yeah, I think the sponsored post of it all is what is sending me the most.
You know what? Good for fucking her. It's very funny. It's very... I want to show my family the best view of Boston. By the way, I had a baby. Now, for $5 off, it really doesn't... Like, it does not get better than that. Like, it's actually so incredible.
Okay, if you could announce a new child mm-hmm. to the world yeah. with a sponsored post, what mm-hmm. would you be endorsing?
What wouldn't I be endorsing?
I would be doing like skincare or something, and it's like, if you use this, your skin will be as smooth as a baby's. And by the way, this is my baby, and that's how I know, because my skin is as smooth as theirs.
The stock photos of the baby are my baby.
That's my baby.
What would I be endorsing? I'd be endorsing Chapel Roan for office. That's and I go, and she really deserves it. And I have a baby. And actually, that picture of a baby that Chapel Roan is holding, that's my baby.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. We could use Chapel.
We really could use... I think a lot of us should go to a chapel. And we could use Chapel.
Maybe we would be safe there. In a chapel.
Maybe.
Probably not.
No. Wait, did you see somebody posted this photo on like Instagram or X or Twitter or whatever? And it was, oh, this is my favorite room at the airport. And it was Chapel Room. No, wait, what was it? No, I'm misquoting.
Yeah, because there is usually like some sort of interfaith. Yes.
Oh, it was your
at the airport.
You know, what does she say? Your artist's favorite artist, your airport's favorite room or something. I don't know. Okay, it was something like that. All right, enough. Moving on. Ilya Malinin was at the ESPYs on the red carpet.
He was? Great.
Yes.
I saw you put this in the document. I had no idea that he went there.
Yes, that's the only thing
I
have.
What did he wear?
A shirt and a suit jacket and pants, all black. Okay.
Okay.
Do you want anything else? This isn't CNN, as we've once shared.
I wanted more information about what he was wearing, and I was hoping that it would be a little out there.
No,
you know?
It was pretty in there. But yes, it was. I don't think he was nominated for anything, but he was there on the red carpet. Harry and Meghan were there.
Really?
Yes.
So Harry and Meghan were nominated for as many ESPYs as Ilya.
Mm-hmm. And me, and you.
Yeah, well, that's fair. It's kind of rude, but it's true. It is
I know, because we all, you know, all five of us were really kind of gunning for that, you know, one award.
I went to the sports Emmys a couple months ago and did not win in my category, so.
Damn it.
I know.
Were you expecting to?
It was, I mean, maybe. I don't know. No. But it was sort of like, you never know, we're in the category.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because I went to Taylor Swift the weekend before in Stockholm.
Yes.
Time of my life, by the way. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Love Stockholm. I have never been there before. Would go back in a second. Mm-hmm. And on the way home, obviously, Air France lost my luggage. So I had to buy clothes for 5 straight days.
Oh, in that's order actually to go. Crazy. Wait, I didn't realize it was for 5 days without luggage.
Yeah, and because I went to New York, not back to my house in Atlanta. So I had no clothes with me. And I had to go to multiple, like, work-like events, like the Emmys. I went to this, like, movie premiere thing. I went to the Watershed New York premiere.
Oh my God. Week. Amazing. Sarah, wait, share Watershed is. Sarah, why don't you share while I explain what it is? Watershed is this documentary that was directed by and is about a Paralympian Mallory Wegman.
Paralympian.
What did I say?
You said Paralympian.
I did?
Yeah.
Paralympian. No. I didn't mean it. Can you just
I know edit, you didn't.
Can you like AI it together? It's fine. Paralympian.
Just start your sentence again.
Okay. Keep this in. I want people to see the real and raw me. So Watershed is a documentary directed by and starring Paralympian Mallory Wegman. And it is amazing. I went to the LA premiere. And got to do a little Q&A with the directors who were Mallory and her husband, Jay.
Yeah. Speaking of hard launching a baby. A lot of the documentary is about their IVF journey. And it's anyway, Mallory's a Paralympic swimmer. She's really good. She's going to be on, I want to say, her third or fourth Paralympic
fourth.
Team this summer.
Yes.
Fourth. And just had a baby last year and has a really powerful story that you guys should watch it. The documentary is going to be on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's out
anyway,
July 16th on Peacock. And it's on Delta Studios every Delta flight, your Delta in-flight entertainment starting August 1st.
Well, yeah. So I went to the New York premiere of that. Adam went to the LA premiere of that. But I went to the New York premiere in a dress that I bought 2 hours before because I had no luggage was my... That was the story I was telling. So yeah, I mean, you never know. Honestly, I bought some clothes that I really like in the week that I didn't have luggage. I've decided the best way to shop for clothes is I don't have any, so I have to go buy something I'm gonna wear now or today. And then you don't buy something that you're like, I might wear this for this. It's
no.
like, oh,
I
I'm
have
going
to wear
to
this,
wear
for
this
now.
To work today.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes. I like, and you've seen some of my new clothes. I've been wearing them because, like, I just bought them for that week, but because I bought stuff that I knew I would actually have to wear, I actually like it.
Oh, wait, that's true. Because then when you came here, I was like, oh, I really like those pants, or I really like that shirt. And now I'm understanding you had to completely get a new identity.
Yes.
And a full wardrobe.
Yes.
Okay, now it's making complete and total sense.
Yeah, so I think if you, listeners, dear readers, mm-hmm. if you are like, I really want like some new jeans, or I want a new dress, or I want whatever, you need to go to the store the day that you're gonna wear it mm-hmm. and be like, I'm wearing this to this dinner or to yes. this whatever.
Genius.
And then you'll buy something that you actually like.
That's actually really smart. Or you have to promise yourself you have to wear it the next day. You have to wear it within 24
to
hours
to something
of
that
it.
Like people will see you at.
Yes. Or else.
Or else. the other benefit of buying stuff when your luggage is lost is that the airline does have to reimburse you for all the stuff that you buy.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I got that.
Even if you don't have status, yes, they have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if that. I don't
think it's a status thing. I think it's like a government policy.
But Air France does do that, and Delta does too.
So cool.
Yeah. So Delta will pay for your clothes, and you can watch Watershed, the documentary, on there.
Mm-hmm. Starting August 1st. Speaking of, you know, so you were talking about gymnastics up at the top of the show. And I will say, were you talking about something that was making you like emotional? Did you say that
earlier in the show?
Yes.
The thing that I think I said was making me emotional was Kate Middleton at Wimbledon, where everyone was giving her a standing ovation.
Right. And I realize you said emotional and it had nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about that was making me emotional.
Go on.
But it does tie back into Olympics coming up. And so because they're coming up, I've been and I am going to Paris, Connecticut. so I, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm like up to date on everything and I know as much as I can. So I've been watching a lot of like, you know, the world championships from the year before and Olympic trials and everything. And I always get emotional when I watch a Thing Mo race. There's just,
I bet you got extra emotional at trials this year then.
Because she didn't make it.
Because she didn't make it.
Yeah.
And she fell.
Yes. But I was watching, but because it was making me upset that she wasn't there. And I was watching her win her world title. And then mm-hmm. I went back and I was watching her in Tokyo. And there's just something about track and field that when somebody's so good at it, it's just so, they don't look human, you know?
Yeah, I mean, track and field is just like, I mean, it's like the original Olympic sport, running is right. Like, it's the most pure athleticism, quote unquote, if you will, like running and swimming are basically the like original things that you can do with your body because they're things that people had to do to like get around.
Right. Actually, when you put it that way, my God.
So when someone has like perfect running, I'm agreeing with you. When someone yes. has like perfect running form, it looks like divine almost.
It does look divine. I mean, her specifically, a Thing Mo, when she runs, it looks like she is like a centaur or like a spiritual deer. Like her legs don't look like human legs. It's just like, yeah. I remember like having my breath being taken away when I watched her in Tokyo. And so then I was watching a ton of her videos. And also I was watching, because I just finished her book, Sydney McLaughlin, win the 400 meter world title in 2022. So I was watching that race. I don't know.
Whose book?
Sydney McLaughlin.
Oh, so I thought you were talking about a Thing Mo the whole time. And then you said, and I just finished her book.
Oh, no. I skipped a thought.
Okay, so you were watching a Thing Mo's race.
I was watching a Thing Mo.
Then you were watching Sydney McLaughlin's races. Then you were reading Sydney McLaughlin's book.
Yes, because I was doing a lot of like a track and field stuff. So I was like,
I mean, she's unbelievable. She's amazing to watch.
Yeah. She's like, that's, again, there's something so like primal about when you watch somebody who can do exactly like what you said, Sarah, something that they need to do to get around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but when there's it's primal. Yeah.
I could cry like just like watching that. And that was amazing. And then I was watching like Sha'Carri Richardson win the world title. And I watched her at Olympic trials, and I was watching a lot of racing, and I was like really feeling it. I mean, I don't think I'd been this emotional since I had watched like a marathon of like things on America's Got Talent that would make me specifically cry, like for real.
Yeah. By the way, for our non-track and field inclined listeners, A Thing Mo is the Tokyo Olympic champion in the 800 meters. She fell at Olympic trials in the final race, and track and field is very cutthroat in how you make the team. You just have to be in the top three at trials or you don't make it. So she was like a gold medal favorite for Paris and will not be there. Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni, she has a hyphenated name now that she's married, is the reigning Olympic champion in the 400 meter hurdles. She holds the world record in that race and has like several of the fastest times ever. She's unbelievable. She will be in Paris. And then Sha'Carri Richardson is the reigning world champion in the 100 meters and will be in Paris also. So the track girlies are really exciting. Are you watching that documentary series on Netflix called Sprint?
No.
Oh, you should watch it. It follows like several of the different track and field stars through last summer leading up to the world championships. And Sha'Carri is one of them. Noah Lyles is one of them. Gabby Thomas.
Noah. Oh, I love Gabby too.
Yeah. So you should watch, everybody should watch that, but you in particular will like it, Adam.
Oh, I can't wait. Also, I was doing a lot of studying on breaking, which is like, you know, the lay people, we call it breakdancing, but they in the community don't like that. And they call it breaking. And I am already so fascinated by it because every athlete is so like, they're such an artist in what they do. And they're so passionate about like how they portray the music and how they can, you know, get all of their moves in, and but like also tell a story. Like it's really, really, really beautiful, and that's gonna make me cry because there's so much like passion and heart behind their dance, and they all have stage names, which is really important to me.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, no, breaking is going to be really fun to watch in the Olympics. I want to go back to a little, I think I skipped over this as our good news section. Trusova.
Yes.
Engaged.
Yeah.
To Makar Ignatov. Is that right?
I don't know.
Even though she was dating Mark forever?
Well, yes.
What I was so confused about.
It just seemed like to me, who keeps no tabs on her whatsoever, that this all happened so, it seems also sudden, you know, even though she's probably could be like, I've been in this relationship for 10 years and I would have not known. But what I did know was when she posted her engagement photos. And so she's engaged.
So congratulations to her.
Yes. Congratulations to her. I will say her red hair. This was my favorite shade of the red hair.
What shade of red is it now?
Like Lindsay
As opposed
Lohan.
To previous. Oh,
Lindsay
okay.
Lohan versus like fire hydrant. So it was good. She's engaged.
Great. Well, Sasha, we are great wedding guests, and Maddie and Evan will vouch for us if you do want us to come. Adam and I are available, and we will go.
But not to Russia.
Well, yeah, if you could get married
in
outside
Hawaii.
Of Russia, in Hawaii,
since we know the way, yeah,
we would love to be there.
Yeah, and we would even like we'd be open to performing some sort of like routine to your song. I'm just saying that.
Yes. Wait, she should play her own song at her
down
wedding.
The aisle.
Yeah.
100%. That would be a complete missed opportunity if she didn't do that.
The only thing is it won't look anything like the music video because there will actually be people there.
Right, because she was doing it on an abandoned stadium.
In the streets of Moscow.
Yeah, like at the height of the pandemic. There's like tumbleweeds going down the major intersection.
Yes. Yeah, wow. How old is she?
I think she's like 19. Should I look that up?
Yeah.
Why not? We're here already.
We've got time. Do you guys have time, listeners?
She's 20.
She's 20?
Yes. Her birthday is June 23rd, 2004. Oh my God. You know what's so scary to me is that people in the 2000s are born.
Yeah, and are still alive today.
Yeah, somebody who was born in the 80s. Yeah, I am a little shocked of how they made it this far. Oh, wow. Atari Tutberitz is the same age as Jennifer Lopez. I didn't know that.
I mean, and they both look 20 years younger than that.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
What if they have the same doctor?
I'm sure. Zhivago.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, this is sad. We lost one of the greatest skating coaches of all time.
Yes.
American figure skating coach Frank Carroll. That was very sad. That was out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had been sick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just that'll be a huge void. I think almost every current and at like in the last 20 years, American figure skater has at least taken some sort of lesson with Frank. I took one. Ashley took one. I think everybody's worked with Frank at one point. Yeah, so it was very sad. And he's had like a huge impact on the sport, especially in American skating.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm grateful to have known him and worked with him. And I think, you know, we're all very grateful for everything that Frank has done.
Yeah, I think Evan Lysacek and Michelle Kwan both said really nice things about him after he passed, which was nice to see.
Now, yeah. Sarah, is there an update on the Olympic medals to the figure skating team event in Paris?
Yes. So the hearings through the Court of Arbitration for Sport are in progress, allegedly. But it sounds like the goal is for there to be a medal ceremony of some kind in Paris for the team medals from the skating event in Beijing.
Wow.
That's what Christine Brennan is reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything is allowed to, like, if any official plans like that would be allowed to go forward without the appeals being over, but maybe they would be able to. I don't know. But that's like what the rumor is, that they're going to try to give them medals at the Olympics in August.
Wow. That would be amazing. My prediction is that they will get them in Milan. That's what I think.
I was really surprised to see that they were trying to plan it for Paris, honestly.
Yeah.
But that would be cool.
No, that would be really cool.
I'll go to the medal ceremony.
Yeah, I will. What Paris will it be in? The one in Paris or the one in Connecticut? Oh, did I make you sick? Did that make you ill?
I think they're planning for the French Paris, okay. Not the American Paris.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. That's a choice, I guess. A choice somebody had to make. And yeah. When they said, do you want to go to Paris? I said, absolutely. I will get my passport. They said, you won't need it, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
You're going to Stanford. Now, what else? Oh, there was some Korean figure skating drama. Kind of big
yes,
drama.
Yes, there was.
And Sarah, to me, it's still, I still really have not a clear idea on what the drama was, but it does feel like Haeyin is on some sort of suspension.
Well, it's Lee Haeyin and Yoo Young, right, are both on some kind of suspension.
And it seemed like Young Yoo is going to try to contest it.
Okay. Yeah. What it seemed like it centered around was that the two skaters were, I don't want to say found guilty of, it's not like they were in court, but like that the Federation has found them guilty of some kind of sexual harassment of a minor.
Yes.
Which Haeyin posted on Instagram was her boyfriend, or someone that she was dating at the time, who she didn't want, like the relationship was kind of a secret, so she wasn't telling people that they were together. But that I think she was trying to say, like, I wasn't, you know, we were together. It wasn't harassment kind of thing, but because of his age, maybe it is regardless. And I don't know. It seems complicated.
Yeah, it seems really complicated, but it starts to make more sense of like, oh, she was going through something when she was at Four Continents. Do you remember
was she?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember she skated really poorly in the short program? And she was like, I'm just going through something.
Oh,
I'm going through something.
I forgot
right
about
now.
That. Yeah.
I thought about it immediately. It was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So because a lot of these details are coming out in Korean with people translating them. And so yes, Sarah, that is like the gist of what it is. So I don't really know anything more about that.
I mean, look, it sounds
bad. It doesn't sound good.
It sounds bad. And at the same time, it sounds like something that young people would do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like do.
Do-do.
Do-do.
Speaking of do-do, the Grand Prix assignments also. We completely just disregarded the Grand Prix ever happening. And I think for me, the big thing and the big story is Alyssa Liu back on the scene, back at the Grand Prix.
So is Jason Brown.
Two
assignments each.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. I don't know why Jason is somebody who, like, he could, like, I just don't think of him on Grand Prix. I think of him on Nationals. And I go, I'm waiting for Jason at Nationals. But yes, Jason Brown back on the Grand Prix, which I think is great. I think this is, like, I think for him to kind of get his mind wrapped around of, like, okay, we're buckling down. We're going to do, like, this Olympic run the right way. I think this is absolutely the right move. If he's able to skate like that, doing two competitions a year, I mean, just imagine how much better and more stable he'll feel with, like, a full season under his belt heading into Milan.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jason is already, as it is, in good shape to make the team for Milan because he's just so consistent and so, like,
professional.
Proves over and over again that he can be competitive in the top 10 at Worlds every year. But I think, yeah, I agree, this puts him in an even better position of just, like, you know, I'm going to show up all fall and do my events and, like, build throughout the season. Like, it will only help him. So,
yeah. I think it just shows where his head is at. Is that, like, yes, I'm doing this my way, but I am going to take it seriously. Don't want to get that twisted, which I think it's important for both him and that outside perspective of, like, well, is he going to be serious or not? Not that anybody was ever questioning that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there are... The Grand Prix fields are exciting, by the way, especially in singles, I feel like. Jason and Ilya are both at Skate Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like an early kind of I don't want to say showdown. It's they're totally different skaters, but it'll be nice to see them together early. Yuma, Kageyama, and Jason are both at NHK. Adam Tsiao-Himfa does not have like really, really tough competition at either of his events. So he'll probably not see like the other top guys until the final, which I guess is, you know, that's kind of how it is, how it's designed. I will say the men's assignment sheet feels empty without Shoma Uno on it.
I mean, it really it does feel so odd. That's definitely like there has been a page turned of like everybody who is on the Grand Prix right now. I mean, I think of who's on, I mean, Kevin Amos is like one of the older skaters on this list, but having Shoma not here, it's like it's almost surreal.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's like Jason is of the previous generation. Kevin, a little bit. Jason's probably is the most veteran person.
Yes, that's true.
But it feels different because he's taken time away, whereas Shoma was always there. He was just like a constant.
Yes. Now, I'm really excited for Skate Canada because we get to see Ilya and we get to see Jason, but we also get to see Alyssa head-to-head with AMZ.
Okay, wait. I do want to say the women's assignments for the Americans is like showdown after showdown because Skate America is Isabeau and Brady.
Yes.
Skate Canada is Alyssa and Ava Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And then
France is Amber versus herself, which will be a showdown.
Japan is Alyssa, Brady, and Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Isabeau and Lindsay are in Finland. And then Amber and Ava Marie.
It is
in China. It is. I mean, every week it's going to be drama.
It's going to be really
good. For fifth
good.
And sixth place.
You know what?
I mean, the American girls tend to like underperform on the Grand Prix.
I mean, didn't Isabeau get second at the final? She was second
not
at the
her.
World Championships. Not except Isabeau's not American. She's from New Jersey.
Yeah, that's
just like
true.
Ava Marie for fifth place. Ava Marie won a Grand Prix last year. Go to church, Sarah. Go to church.
Can't anybody have any fun around here?
No, because you know who's not having any fun? Sarah Maud Dupuis, who will be...
Dupuis.
She's not having any fun because she is going to Halifax.
Well, and she's got Gabby Dalman on her heels.
Well, and she'll literally have Kaori Sakamoto on her podium. So that will be interesting for sure.
Well, I'm interested to see, like, Skate America has Haein and Young Yu.
For now.
So are those spots going to end up being vacant? I mean, they haven't moved them off yet, but it seems like they are not going to end up competing there. So who ends up taking those?
I don't know.
You know who I can't wait to see in Allen, Texas? Yuna Aoki.
Steve Aoki's daughter. Yeah.
And Nina Pinzerone.
I know. And she'll be the oldest, youngest person there.
Nina and Luna are going head-to-head in France. The oldest skater in the world versus Amber Glenn.
Also, I'm really excited because I think that Mona Chiba had a really great four continents last season.
Yes.
And I think this is her time to be like, okay, you want to take me seriously all year? Watch this. And so she has an opportunity to kind of really establish herself as somebody who like absolutely needs to be on a world podium.
Yeah. What events does she have? NHK...
She's doing NHK, and she is doing China.
Okay. So she has a little time before she gets started.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, but I agree. I think this could be a great year for Monet. I think this could be a great year for Yuna.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I
love
her.
I'm
so curious about Brady and Alyssa coming back. I cannot
wait to see.
I can't wait for Nationals.
I know.
Like, all these girls.
And Ava Marie.
Well, if Ava goes to Nationals.
I mean, she did pretty well not going.
She did. She did. She might be like, I don't need that competition
anymore.
No,
my ankle hurts. My ankle hurts. I'm not going.
No, I like this is a larger group of good U.S. women. That's
it's
exciting.
Really, I mean, and we really could see a lot of medals from them. It's going to be exactly like you said. We're going to see a lot of fifths or we're going to see a lot of medals.
Yeah, 100%. And the Japanese women have a huge depth, too. I mean, we talked about Yuna, Monet, Kaori, but also Rinka, Wakaba, Hana
Rion.
Yoshida. Like, Rion, yeah. That's a crazy number of women who all are podium capable.
It's wild. The women are going to be really exciting. I feel like the women are really starting to, like, step into their own.
Yeah, because the men were kind of beating them on the drama and the competitiveness
for
a little bit.
Yes, but I think that now we have some, like, established characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important.
Some established fan groups like the Glenheads and the Izabarbs.
Yes, that's which are the two political parties of figure skating, actually.
You
know, take that information as you will. Ice dance, you know, your favorites, your not favorites, the fan favorites, they're all
well
there.
I'm excited to see the U.S. junior champions coming onto senior, Leah and Artyom.
Yes.
They are
this will
really
be
good.
Really, I mean, this could be a really major shakeup for what is that Milan team going to look like?
We'll see.
We'll
There's
see.
A lot of teams in that mix.
Yes. That's what I think makes the this Milan ice dance field of who will be on that U.S. Olympic team really interesting because this junior ice dance team, they've been junior for a few years.
Yeah.
So they've been like priming themselves for this
mm-hmm.
moment.
Yeah, they're really good. So they'll be at Skate America with Maddie Chalk and Evan Bates, who, I mean, I think the very top of international ice dance is going to look exactly the same as it did last season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Chalk and Bates, Piper and Paul, Fear and Gibson, Marco and Charlene. And I, you know who is going to make the world podium this year?
Tell me.
Do you know?
Yeah. Lila and Lewis.
No, that's not what I was going to say. Marjorie Lajoie and
yes.
Zachary Legas.
Okay, well, this is what I think.
World podium Boston 2025.
I think Marjorie and Zach are going to, it's going to be a head-to-head with Piper and Paul. They are going to have them neck and neck, and I think that's going to be a really, really interesting, like, battle for who is the number one Canadian heading into the World Championships.
I love them. I love them so much. They are going to be the number one Canadian team this year.
Wow, big words from a big fan.
That's true. From a big fan for sure. I love all of these people, but I really feel like their momentum, like that's where it's going. That's what's
yes.
gonna happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just agree that they have momentum and
yeah.
I mean, they're going head to head at Skate Canada. So
yeah.
That's
And my other two favorite American teams are at Skate Canada too.
I know.
Brady and Somerville, Zingas
and Kolesnik. Cannot wait. Another head to we have really been blessed with a lot of and the greatest dance team of all time, Le Preve and Brousseau.
True.
Yes.
True.
So I think Skate Canada is going to be a great one for the dance.
Yeah.
They all will be. I'm really excited to see what the Italians, Gagnard and Fabry, are going to do.
It is really interesting that they have Gillis and Poirier and Lajoie Legat together at Skate Canada.
Well,
because that is going to tell us a lot about what we need to know.
I mean,
scores are going to go in the season.
Right. And what is the, like, what's the strategy? Like, yeah. what do we think? Because if there's going to be a changing of the guard, it has to happen like in this season, not in the season of the Olympics. And so this is like also going to be like where Piper and Paul get some sort of like material that's incredible and like can win a world title, or it will be when Lajoie and Legat take over and become that number one Canadian team. That's, I think, like that's the Canadian story of ice dance.
Yep. 100%. I think the Italian team, Gagnard and Fabry, got really favorable fields. They're going to be in France and in China, and there aren't, I think those are not as competitive of fields. So that's a favorable draw for them. Ice dance,
the best. I mean, it's really good. Now pair skating, this is where it. I mean, you know what will be. You know what will be, and it should be, and that's kind of what I have to say. I mean, I can't wait to see. World champion Deanna Stalata Dudek and Max Deschamps back on the scene, starting with Skate Canada.
Yes.
I want to see the Japanese, Riku and Ryuichi. I want to see them back in shape. I want to see them, not that they weren't in shape, but I want to see them healthy. I mean, see them healthy throughout the season.
Yes. 100%. I really am excited that our girl, Maria Pavlova, of Hungary, will be in Allen, Texas to start the season.
Oh, and she's going to make sure that she skates a clean program, or she's going to go crazy.
I do feel like it's funny to me that every Skate America, it seems like there's always a Terry Tuparice always has some kind of skater at Skate America.
I mean, she'll finagle her way through any European country to have a skater there. Also, wait. On gymnastics Twitter, somebody was really upset the other day that the entire Filipino team was American women.
Yes.
And then somebody quote tweeted that and said, gymnastics fans would not survive a day on figure skating Twitter.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And it's very home is where the passport is from. Yes. And New Jersey.
Where the passport is.
Everybody, Sarah, everyone's from Russia. Everyone's from New Jersey. What are you talking about? Everyone is from Montclair, New Jersey. Home is where the embassy is.
Yeah, that's where the Russian embassy is. It is interesting. It's just the country swapping is just not as common in gymnastics, I guess, as it is in skating. So
yeah, well, you know, I think in skating, I think what really does it in skating is like when you have the pair teams. It's the pair teams because you see a lot of people being like, "Well, this is the partner I have." And I mean, 100%. You know, you have like a Tanith Belbin, getting American citizenship to skate with Ben Augusto. You have Deanna getting trying to get Canadian citizenship to skate with Max. So, citizenship.
And actually, the citizenship test in Canada is just saying Canadian citizenship three times fast.
Whoa, ten times, that's updated. That's updated. Sarah, I feel like we've kind of hit some like major points. Actually, we had one fan question that I wanted to ask, and maybe you can give us some clarity on this. And it's about the Grand Prix. And somebody wrote to us and they said, I need to know all your thoughts on the Grand Prix assignments. Well, we gave them. You're welcome. Specifically, if it was Amber Glenn's choice to not go to Skate America or not, because every other national champion is there. Amber is the only national champion who is not at Skate America. Now, I believe that it was not her choice. And what I believe is that they are taking, they want to have their highest ranked American at Skate America. And I think because Isabeau was a world medalist, I think that was U.S. figure skating's mentality.
Yeah. You're saying I believe that as in you think it. You don't know
I
that,
think
right?
it. Yes. Okay. I don't
I
know
wasn't
that.
Sure what you meant. Yeah. So I believe that too. I feel like that would make the most sense because it's hard to imagine that
she
Amber
would say,
would
no
say
to that.
I don't want to go to Skate America.
But that is interesting. I didn't even think of that as a point that she is.
I think it's
she...
just it's an unusual circumstance that like mm-hmm. the national champion is not the highest ranked, but Isabeau just had such a good worlds that.
Yes.
There we were.
And just to clarify, when you say you believe it, you just believe it. Also.
Yeah, I just believe you. So, yes.
Okay.
I believe you.
I believe you too. And I believe in us. And I believe that the children are our future. And
I believe that we didn't just fall
fly.
Out of a coconut tree. We
no.
exist in which the context of which, what is the, what is it?
You
exist
all...
in the context of everything that came before you.
Yes. Did you just fall out of a coconut tree?
Kamala Harris for president.
Harris 2024. I think that's this is us touching base, okay? But we're really excited because we have another great episode planned for you. So this is your touch base one. Sarah and I are going to do another episode, and it's going to be a Summer Olympics preview since she is going to Paris, France, and I am going to Paris, America. And we can't wait to share it with you, and we love you, and welcome back to The Run Through, the podcast that makes you kiss and cry.
And makes you wonder, where are they?
What are they? Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.